Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up! It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce. A Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists, Inc. production.
Hello. You are tuned in to the Just the Chicago Radio Show. Welcome. Introducing Clifton Pierce, straight out of Chicago. Clifton,
well,
how's it going?
There. Hey, it's great, baby.
Hi.
It's raining in Chicago. What is it doing in Florida?
Oh, man, okay. You know what? It was raining a little bit earlier, you know.
Yeah,
so that's about
you know,
it.
One of the first,
it was raining.
One of the first things I want to talk about is Chicago is starting to get a rise in this epidemic, so we got to talk about this pandemic situation. But listen, some of my guests tonight, you know, I might change this show to Gumbo Show because we got such a mixture of people. Right now, is Mr. Ricky Hendon is on the line. I need him to press one. So, Ricky, if you dare, press one, please. Okay, I got Holly Maxwell, if she's there, press one. I got Louis Mentor, if he's there, press one. Okay, what you got, Candace?
Okay, PK to Chambri, if you're on the line, press one. K-Roll, comedian from out of Atlanta, Georgia, if you're on the line, press one. Okay, we got three people that are in. Let me go ahead and get them together. Looks like we got three people. Caller 3644, welcome. I unmuted you.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. Hi.
Thank you.
Is this Miss Holly Maxwell?
Yes, it is, darling.
The one and only. Yes.
Don't y'all start that girl talk.
I am excited.
Don't y'all start that girl talk. I'm saving Holly for last.
Guess what?
Holly and I have a love.
You save me for nothing. That done saved me.
That's my Holly. If it ain't never one, but Holly, we do. We're gonna come back. We're gonna come back to you because we have some extensive things we want to talk about.
Go and do what you gonna do.
But don't you go away.
Okay.
Don't you go nowhere. Okay. Who else we got, sweetheart?
Let's see. Caller, I think we got T-Bone. T-Bone comedian in front of Atlanta, Georgia. Are you on
T-Bone.
The air?
T-Bone.
T-Bone.
Tell them they got to press one after they want to call.
I'm sorry. K-Roll from out of Atlanta, Georgia. Are you on the air?
Press one.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Press one.
Okay, all right, welcome to the show. This is a comedian from out of Atlanta. We're going to have, he's having a comedy special, Clifton Neck, on Monday night. So that I wanted to introduce him on your show tonight to give him some coverage. And
if he's a comedian, he better make me laugh. Otherwise, I'm going to drop him at the bottom of the stage. He better make me laugh.
Yeah.
T-Row, how you doing, man?
Yeah, how you doing there, sir?
I'm laughing already. That's enough. I don't want to talk no more. Who else we got, baby?
Okay, I think we got some reverb too. I think PK Chashambri from out of Atlanta, Georgia. PK, are you on the line?
Yes, hello.
Hey, Mr.
Yes,
PK, how are you?
I'm terrific, sir. How are you?
Okay, well, I'm going to get back to you, too, because we got a lot to talk about. Who else we got on the line?
Okay. Oh, man, we got a caller. Caller, your number ending in 2172. 2172. Caller, can you introduce yourself, please?
Hello. Good evening.
Hi, good evening.
Who am I talking?
Welcome.
Who am I talking to?
This is Holly's friends. Julius, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, boy, Holly done stacked the deck. Hey, Candace, Holly done stacked the deck on us.
Yes, she did.
Okay. Well, listen, the first person I'm really looking for, I want to start out with Ricky Hendon, though. It's kind of important that we talk to him. So I know that he's
Ricky
there.
Hendon, I think he's, 6682. I think this is Mr. Ricky himself. Is this 6682? This is Mr. Ricky Hendricks. If you're on the line, please press 1 so the engineers will know and we can unmute you and add you to the call. Okay. 6682? Welcome. Okay. Well, you know, moving right along, I guess he'll call in. You know,
okay.
Our lines, Christian, it's a good problem to have, unfortunately, but our lines are really packed, and that's probably what's keeping him from dialing in.
Okay, but I need Mr. Hendon to dial in. Huh?
Okay. How about we talk to PK, and then we get him together, and then we
okay,
can
come on,
the
Mr.
line.
PK, introduce yourself. PK and I, we talked earlier. How you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm fine as a glass of wine.
I ain't mad at you either. PK, tell them who you are and that you're a transplanted Chicagoan.
Yes, I lived in Chicago for a number of years, worked for Continental Bank, Johnson Publishing, Lakeside Bank, and was all over the city of Chicago. And back in the day when Mayor Daley, the real Mayor Daley, not his son, the Mayor Daley, I worked for the Department of Streets and Sanitation. My job was to simply go over on 75th Street or 35th Street and count the garbage trucks going out in the morning, and then count them coming in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And that I was making $13,000 a year, and I had to sell $4,500 worth of Democratic function tickets a year.
Now,
so
is that when they had what they called a precinct captain? Is that when we had precinct captain?
Yes.
Now, I see. Okay. Now, what are you doing, and what are you doing in Atlanta, and how long you been there?
I've been in Atlanta, damn, I'm going to tell my age, almost 40 years.
Is that right?
And I do some motivational speaking and talk with young men about how to avoid the pitfalls of police, and brutality, how to go across this country and not get killed, how to know when to fold and know when to hold.
Well, by Atlanta being a black city, how is it for a black young man in Atlanta?
Well, when you come to Atlanta, it is no different from Chicago. The plight of young black men are no different in Atlanta than they are in Chicago, than they are in Jackson, Mississippi, or Hugo City, Mississippi. It's the same thing.
Okay.
They're simply black folks.
Okay. How's the employment for them?
I'm sorry.
I say, how is the employment? I was under the impression that Atlanta was a lot of college graduates living there.
Yeah, there's a lot of college living here. There's a lot of wealth here in Atlanta. But the masses doesn't get touched by the wealth or the college. I mean, the colleges is over there. But how are you going to get Tasha's son or Tasha's daughter to go to college? And
okay.
They haven't been taught to go to college.
Yeah.
Well, listen, the mayor there has... The mayor there was nominated to possibly run for a vice presidential seat. What kind of job is she doing in Atlanta?
Well, she wasn't really nominated. that was a make black folks feel good. They just threw her name out there, like they did Stacey Abrams and a lot of black folks. They just threw their names out there. But the mayor here is doing a very good job, especially with the issue of race relationship. We got black mayors and black city councilmen, but yet and still we got a lot of gentrification going on here in the city of Atlanta. So this mm-hmm. will probably be our last black mayor after
Is
her.
That right? Where are these white people coming from?
They ran to the suburbs, and then now they're coming back.
That seems to be happening in all the. That seems to be happening in all the big cities.
All the big cities, they're coming back, and they're buying the property that their grandma left.
Okay.
Because
okay.
they can get the credit and they can close the loan.
Okay. Listen, I'm going to put you on hold for a minute. We're going to come back to you. Who else we got, Candace?
Okay. Oh, let's see. We have Mr. Ricky Hendon on the line. Welcome.
Hi. How are you all this evening?
Hey, Mr. Hendon, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Great. Listen, let me tell you something about this guy. He's double-breasted, okay? From the outhouse to the White House, he's qualified to go. And their situation came up in Chicago. They call it equal opportunity, but it wasn't an equal opportunity at all. Some of y'all that may not know, but Illinois is now a state where marijuana is legalized. Okay?
Right.
And but at the same time, we as blacks, we can only buy it. We can't sell it. Okay? So they were supposed to have an equity lottery allowing minorities to participate in the selling of the illegally selling of the weed. So from there, I'm going to just turn it over to Mr. Hendon, and I'm going to just let him roll. Mr. Hendon, sir.
Well, I appreciate being on with you tonight. The reason why this is so important nationally, Cliff, is because the legislation to legalize marijuana nationally is going to pass. Trump has said he would sign it, and Biden has also said he would sign it. So what happens in Illinois will affect black people all over America. Because
and that's one reason why I wanted you on the show. That's one reason why I want you on the show. Go ahead, sir.
Right, right. So it'll be legal nationally. Now, everybody know that we are the ones, black people and more than anybody else, Latinos second, that went to jail for weed. We could have a small amount. We got people in jail right now. They're letting 700,000 black, mostly black people out of jail for cannabis convictions. And many of them are in jail, been in jail 5-6 years for $20 worth of weed. Now that it's legal, you have in Illinois people making $10 million a month, and they talked to the black caucus and said, okay, we know black people don't own none of this because 99.9% owned by white men. So we'll put this bill in, and it's the same in every state. Here it was House Bill 1438, and this bill would create 75 licenses for social equity applicants. That's the new term, Cliff.
They is that a new word, minority. Social equity? That's a new black word, right, social equity.
That's right. That's the new black word. Because so, they say, well, you had a black president, Obama, so you can't say affirmative action. We don't want to say minority participation. But we'll say social equity. Go along with that, and we'll make sure it goes down the right way. And they even drew a map. And most of the map is the black neighborhoods. You know what I'm saying? Well, when the application process came along, big time, big white owned companies found ways to sneak their butt in there illegally all over Illinois. And they hired a company, KPMG, international multi-billion dollar company. They made $30 billion last year. Their profession is really tax shelters, you know, help people like Trump not pay their taxes, and they make millions for that. They were supposed to score the applications. Well, what they did was come up with 21 perfect applicants. Now, there's never been a perfect applicant nowhere in the world, in America. Never. And you got all kind of cannabis companies in California, Portland, and other places. So they created this perfect score, and they said of the 75 licenses, only 21 companies would be in this rigged lottery for the cannabis dispensaries so you could sell the marijuana. And I say it's a rigged lottery because some of these big companies, most of them, have 32 chances in the lottery, and the one or two blacks who did sneak in and get in there, and most of them is hooked up with the white folks, they got one or two chances. So I ask you, Cliff, I ask you, America, who's going to win? The one with 72 chances or the one with one chance? It's a rigged lottery. That's what's happening in Illinois.
Well, let me ask you this. How much was the filing fee and all of that involved, even to be part of that much of it?
Well, the filing fees itself was like $5,000 per application. But you had to hire these consultants and attorneys to help you get your application together. So the average person in our group, and I'm part of a coalition of African-Americans who applied, because 99.9% of the African-Americans who applied got rejected. And it got rejected for all little bitty technicalities. They didn't like, in my case, they're going to say, I don't live on the west side. Well, I've been on the west side my whole damn life. I'm 66. I had to come and find a light bill from the 1990s because they kept saying I didn't really live on the west side. I've been west side senator, west side alderman, west side Democratic Ward committeeman. But they picked little bitty things. They may as well just say they didn't like my afro. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So the average African-American put their family's money together. It costs us about $100,000 a piece.
My God.
But it's worth it. If we make it, it's worth it. We just don't want to be screwed and be cheated. That's the sad thing. It's all over the paper now here in Illinois and on the news about these corrupt people. The one county commissioner is in the paper today. They're demanding that she resign. She used to be a cannabis regulator, and she left there, started working for the cannabis company. Then she got elected. Then she was running around because you're supposed to have some black and brown people in your group to be social equity. So she was going around just finding any old black, people who didn't know nothing about the cannabis business. Just sign your name right here, that kind of thing. We'll give you $40,000 or $10,000, $5,000. They have one veteran. And I'm, you know, the brother's an alcoholic. You know, it's a well-known wine head, as they say, on Racine and 79th Street. He's supposed to be the owner of one of their companies. And you got a lot of these front companies that they came up with. You got a casino owner who owns slot machines, who's losing his licenses, his gambling licenses, but yet they let him in the cannabis lottery 38 times.
Let me ask you something. They legalized the marijuana in January. How much money has that generated so far?
$500 million. So far,
I want you to say that again. Since January,
$500 million has been generated and counting, because that number, the 500 million, was really from a month ago. So they're in the area. When they legalized, when the cannabis bill passed in Washington D.C. and the Banking Act, which will allow people to swipe their card or use a credit card. In Illinois alone, it'll be $1.5 billion a year. That's why white folks don't want us in there. They want us to be on welfare. You know, they want us to be on welfare. They want us to just work for them, you know, starve to death. And that's what's happening in Chicago. So when people talk about how we're going to get rid of the violence, you can't do that without economic development. You can't do that without giving these kids some hope and some dreams and something to look forward to. Because as long as you run all the wealth out of the black community, if you can do that to any community, that community is going to deteriorate. So
okay, let me ask you this here.
It's $800 million a year, Illinois.
$800 million. But let me ask you this here. Every million that's made, isn't a portion that's supposed to go to violence prevention?
Well, there is like in my case with my little group of West Side people, we pledge 10% of all of our profits would go to community-based organizations for things like stopping violence, ending homelessness, women who need shelter, you know, food program and COVID, you know, PPE equipment and all of that. The white companies, most of them put 5%. They ain't putting nothing yet. You know, so yeah, you're right. It's supposed to go. But if we don't even own nothing, we don't even know nothing. And that's how they're going to keep it.
Let me ask you the next question. Come on.
The saddest part is the black elected officials is quiet as mice. Black elected officials, when you talk to them about it, all you hear is freaking cricket. We like, come on, man. Come on, y'all. This is your – they come and beg for our vote. But when something like this comes up, which could change the hood and make it better, they quiet as hell.
Well, let me ask you, doesn't the law say that the marijuana that's sold in Illinois has to be grown in Illinois?
Yes, that is correct. And therefore, the cultivation licenses and the license to grow are also on hold here in Illinois because of this mess with the dispensaries. But the same people, the same company, KPMG, who rigged this lottery and screwing us on this, they're the same people who got to grade the applications, and we don't like that.
So you're talking about the foxes watching the hen house.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's another issue, too. As you may know, Pembroke, Illinois, is one of the poorest communities in Illinois. Is that land is basically owned by black people who grow vegetables, greens, and potatoes and all those. And they've asked me to help out and reach out for them. And I'm telling them, y'all need to leave them good vegetables alone and start growing some weed.
Well,
you know,
something
that can generate some money, something they can borrow against.
Some real money. I mean, and the vegetables is fine, but this is crazy money. This is like the beginning of the internet, Facebook. If we'd have been on top of that.
You're at the ground floor of it.
Exactly. And people mm-hmm. need to understand this is coming all through the dirty South. It ain't going to just be Illinois or California. It's going to be in New York. It's going to be in Georgia. It's going to be in Alabama. It's going to be Ohio, Michigan, everywhere, every state in the union, just like alcohol at one time was illegal. That's where we are. Now it's going to be cannabis. So whether you smoke it or partake or not, it's about economic development. We will never get reparations. We may as well stop that conversation if we can't get an opportunity to benefit from the legal sale of cannabis. We may as well shut up.
Okay, my one last question with you would be due to the fact that you come out of the political arena. What's your take on Ice Cube talking with the president?
Well, you know, I have a problem with what a lot of people are doing, not because they don't have no right, but because this is the most dangerous president in American history. People need to understand this man knew all about COVID-19 and coronavirus in January. And in January, he kept saying mess like, oh, it's all right. Oh, it'll be gone in a week. Oh, don't worry about it. Privately, he was saying, oh, this is horrible. Oh, this is going to kill a lot of people. Oh, we better. But publicly, he was just playing it like it wasn't nothing. Then he act like he got it, and he back out campaigning in 2 days. If he did have it and he back out in the street in 2 days, then he's a spreader of the disease, a massive spreader of the disease to anybody that comes to one of his goofy rallies or anybody that is in the White House. About 50 people in the White House got the COVID coronavirus now. It ain't nothing. And we're about to get that second wave because the regular flu season is hitting in. So for anybody to support Trump for any reason right now, they're playing a very dangerous game. In addition to that, he keeps hitting around that China going to pay, China going to pay, one way or the other. Okay, so what you going to do, shoot some missiles over at China and think the Chinese just going to sit there quietly? No. This man could start world war in a second, and I believe he's crazy enough to do it. So that's why I have a problem with Ice Cube, with Kanye West, and anybody else that want to back this fool.
Well, Mr. Hendon, I mean, it's really been a pleasure. You know, I have a lot of power, but the power that I have is my phone book. What I don't know, I can call somebody that knows. So I called you, and I'm so glad you laid it down like that. Okay. And I want to be able to call you back again. I want you to keep us abreast with that. Once a month, I'm going to ask you, as long as I got this show, once a month, I want you to come on and keep us posted on what's going on with that.
All right, and I appreciate Nick Cannon Radio. We got him in court right now, about four or five cases. The governor, first he was saying he couldn't stop the lottery, and now he's saying, oh, okay, I'm from the lottery. He only stopped the lottery because we took action. We have marched mm-hmm. on him. We have picketed. We have protested, and we won't give up, and I will keep you posted.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hendon. Appreciate you.
Thank you. All right.
All right. Candace. Hey, Candace.
Hey, what's up now?
Hey, how you doing?
Wake up. It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce. A Cannon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists, Inc. production.
Remember. Remember. Tina Turner. She did this song. Remember? I want you to remember. Ike Turner did this song. Now, I want you to remember Holly Maxwell. Merci beaucoup. Doing this song my way. Here it is. I left a good job in the city, working for the man every night and day. But I
want to know, Holly, how you doing?
I'm doing just great, Cliff. Thank you.
I want to tell you all something about Holly. I didn't know Holly at the time. She probably don't even remember this. But first of all, Holly went to Parker High School, and I had heard about this girl that was super talent over there, and I never met her. I'm talking about as a young kid, teenager and everything. But later on in life, I ran to East of the Rhine, where I brought in some of the top artists of the time at the East of the Rhine here in Chicago. And we had the shy lights on the show. But I'm not sure. Not only did we have the shy lights, I think we had Joe Simon on that show as well. But listen, this other lady came out, and I thought I was in Hollywood. She came out looking like Hollywood. I want my stars that look like a star. And she came out with this long flowing robe and everything. And I said, well, who is that? And they say, that's Holly Maxwell. And ever since then, I've been impressed with Holly. Because you may see her looking this way and that way, but come showtime, she's putting on a Mae West type performance. Holly, tell them about yourself, baby.
Thank you, Cliff.
We ain't never talked like that before, have we?
No, yet. No, you ain't. You know what? I've been in the music game 7 decades, Cliff. From the age of 5 until the age of 73. And I had a thyroid operation. And it's been 2 years since I've sang anything. But God is good. I've got a contract coming out of England. Now that we're working on, I'm doing my documentary, And I have now set up an organization called Black Musicians Matter. Because, Cliff, we have been taken advantage of. We have not gotten paid right. All of the clubs on the South say, you know, I'm going with my mouth now and talk now. Guess what? All the clubs on the South Side have been, I mean, this is before the pandemic. All the clubs on the South Side were stripped of their greatness. And everything went to the North Side. And so Black musicians had to work on the North Side of Chicago. And trust me, they weren't getting paid what they were worth. So I have set up this organization called Black Musicians Matter. Please go to Facebook and please go to GoFundMe, because there are some musicians that are suffering, y'all. Please, can I tell you something? We have made your lives. We have given you your fantasies. We have given you your dreams. We have allowed you to live your lives through us. We cannot perform anymore. With the lights done went down, the curtain done went down on us. Please help us. Please help your Chicago musicians at GoFundMe.com. Black Musicians Matter. That's number one. That's number one I really wanted to say, because that is my passion now. The next thing is I got a book, and it's called Free Bass Ain't Free. And it's about my life with Ike Turner, who was the best thing that ever happened to me. I don't care what team you're talking about. I'm talking about the man's musical genius, and I'm talking about his love for me as a person, as a talent, and as an extraordinary human being. Okay, yeah. If it hadn't been for Ike and Jimmy Smith, Jimmy Smith was the greatest jazz organist in the world. Still is. Ain't nobody beat him. I sang with him. If it hadn't been for those two men, I wouldn't have known I'm a musical genius. And that's the truth, Cliff. Anything you want to ask, because I done ran over you.
No, you haven't. No, because you're representing a situation here that we're going to jump in the water about. You know, I want you to tell about the time you was over in Paris, when you yes. Over in Paris performing. And what about this performance on the airplane? What about that?
Well, that was in 1972. The Al Williams, who was the one of the stepbrothers. See, this is going way back, Cliff. But he was one of them dancing stepbrothers. And he and Melba Caldwell got an agency together, and they were booking young talent, and I was one of those talent. I had a group with me that would remind you of the Gladys Knight and the Pips, but they was called the New Day, and I had a band called the Chicago Fire. Anyway, that was my first trip going to Spain to sing for President Franco. And we performed. I'm the only one that's done this. Nobody's done this no more in life, honey. God is good. I was the first and the only one so far up to this date, 1972, to perform on a TWA 747 jet up in the lounge with the band playing in the air. Baby, when I come down out and we hit the land, they had to pull me off the plane, scared to death. That's what I say. What the hell did I really do?
Okay. Well, listen, we're going to hold you, Holly, for a minute there. You hold it for a minute. I'm going to come right back at you. I'm looking for Louie Mentor on the phone, baby. Have you got Louie on the phone for me? Candace?
Louie, if you're on the phone, please press one of your dial tone. That way I will know in the back office that you're here. And we will go ahead and unmute you. Louie, you're on the phone, Louie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Lou.
Okay.
Have we got it, baby?
Yeah, I don't think so. Not
okay,
yet.
Okay, have we got
not
it?
Yet.
You might
have
well
got...
keep on with me since you can't find
no,
Lou.
No,
yeah.
you say that. No, she got plenty of stories. Is Wes on the phone? Have we got Wes on the phone?
Wes, if you're on the phone, please press one of your dial tone. You'll let me know that you are on the line. You know what? I mean, so far, I mean, we have a packed house. Maybe that's the reason why. We still have K-Roll,
okay,
the comedian, on standby, too.
Okay, let's take a couple of phone calls from somebody we haven't had.
Okay, okay. Let's see. K-Roll from Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes.
K-Roll?
Yes, it's me.
Okay, so when is your comedy show, my friend?
My show for the start tomorrow night at 7.
And where's the place at?
On the Canon Media.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, all right, then we make sure we tune in then. Okay,
yeah,
listen, my partner that I taught the whiskey business has a club in Atlanta called Ellery. You ever go there?
Never been there.
Well,
never
you need to
there.
Go because... Everybody from Chicago, that's where they hang out at, Ellery. That's where all the stepping is done.
Okay. Yeah. My best friend's from Chicago. He was Tupac's first artist, Alize.
Is that right?
Yeah. I rode to different clubs with him like on a regular. So every time,
okay.
Every club we go to, he's stepping. I'm trying to figure. I still ain't learned how to step yet.
Well,
yeah,
I'm going to give you a few
I've been
lessons.
Watching him.
I'll give you a few lessons. I put the S in stepping. I'm the best there is.
All right.
Okay, let me get back to you. Who else we got on the line, sweetheart?
Okay. Caller, phone ending in 2172. Welcome, you on the air? Caller, phone ending in 2172. Welcome, you're live on air.
Good evening, how are you?
Who am I speaking with?
Yeah, this is Julius from Chicago.
Okay, Julius, you part of a Howdy Maxwell's entourage?
That's correct.
Okay, are you a musician? Are you in the business at all?
Not a musician, but I've been in the business a number of years. And I'd like to emphasize that it's very important that your listeners keep us in tap for Black Musicians Matter, because this is of urgency that these Black musicians are suffering, their families, their style of playing, their instruments, everything's taking a toll on that. So we want to emphasize that whoever can go to blackmusicians.com, we'll like to appreciate your conversations with us, our manner of donating whatever you can.
Okay, thank you. We got another call, baby.
Let's see.
Candace?
Yeah, I'm here. Caller, Indian 6682. Welcome, you on the line. Caller 6682, you're live on the air. Okay. Well, when you're ready, let us know. Anybody else that's on the line that wants to say something, please press one of your dial tone, and the engineer board will unmute you and bring you live on the air. All right, Clifton.
Okay. Listen, while we got a moment, I do want to tell you that we are going to get back into concert business. It's very important that we put these masks on, okay? November 29th, Mr. Lee and I are doing a concert in the suburbs of Chicago. We got none other than the Grammy Award-winning Mr. Bobby Rush. He's coming in for Thanksgiving weekend. Now, some of the people out there in Chicago know that I operate the East of the Ryan, and it holds about 400-500 people. So whenever they're ready to do a benefit, I can guarantee them that I will give them that place at no cost to do a fundraiser for all of these entertainers out here. And we did. We lost a lot of our clubs before this pandemic. Back in the days, you had clubs all up and down Cottage Grove, all up and down 63rd Street. And so the bottom line here today, we need to get back into our entertainment. We need to have some economic development. And what I want to say about the whiskey business, okay, in Chicago, we have a financial problem. We have an economic hole that's going on. And one of the ways we can fill this hole is through our nightclubs. One bottle of whiskey has four taxes on it. You got county, state, federal, and city taxes on one bottle of whiskey. So when you close up 90% of our nightclubs, you're taking a tax base away from yourself. Along with that when we have these taverns open, you understand, I mean, the cab drivers are making money, the restaurants are making money, the babysitters are making money, the whiskey places are making money, all kinds of people are making money. So we need to get our clubs back open. All I'm asking these young people to do is put your mask on. Put your mask on. Okay, we can't do this, you walking around here without these masks. And this thing is dangerous. It don't get more dangerous because you're going to have the flu as well as this pandemic situation going on. So I want you to put your mask on so that we can stay open. And that's real important to me, you know. And it's talking again about the music industry. After 60 years, Stevie Wonder is leaving Motown. Okay. And Motown, although it's been owned by the white boys, it's still Motown music. And the whole thing here is about this music business is that owning your masters. It's going to come out one day that Sam Cooke died about asking about his masters. It had nothing to do with no hotel room with no $3 prostitute. It was about him asking about his masters. And I'm going to leave that alone before I have an accident. Okay.
Master,
now, get back.
Cliff.
Yeah, baby, come on.
You said something that's very, very important to me. These kids, these youngsters, this is a serious, listen to me, you all. Okay, go tell your, if you're not on this line, please, your grandmamas, your mamas, your daddies, your uncles, go tell these kids. Cut their masks on, because this is not going to stop until you cover your faces and adhere to the science that deal with the rules. And you guys are giving us, we're the seniors, you are giving your grandmamas, your mamas, you out there, man, shaking your butts and all that, and you partying, you are keeping this pandemic going. Please, I beg of you to pay attention to your lives and understand that this is no joke. Guess what? You're killing each other. You're killing these babies. And honest to God, man, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You are. I understand why you're doing it. Because they've taken the music out of schools. They've taken the arts out of schools. All of your creative energy is gone negative. Please, please keep those masks on. And don't take that back to your mama. Don't take it back to your grandmama. And guess what? And stop having them damn babies without husbands. That's all I got to say.
Hey, let's take a break and we're going to come back for heaven's sake. We got more on the show. Let's go. Remember, Candace.
Remember. Tina Turner. She did this song. Remember? I want you to remember. Ike Turner did this song. Now, I want you to remember Holly Maxwell. Merci beaucoup. Doing this song my way. Here it is. I left a good job in the city, working for the man every night and day. But I never lost one. Baby, a-sleeping, word about the way things might have been. Big wheels keep on turning. Talking about proud, proud Mary keeps on burning, y'all.
Ooh, all right, listen, callers. Room. You want to say anything, please press one of your dial tones. Press 1 on your phone, and that will let us know that you have something to say. You want to talk to Clifton or any of our special guests tonight, Ms. Holly Maxwell, she's on the line. And we got K-Roll from out of Atlanta on the line. So if anybody just wants to say anything, press 1 and let us know.
Ooh, y'all have.
Okay, let me ask, is Wes on the line? Is Wes trying to get in? I need Wes to come on the line. Lord, I pumped him out of pain. You know, one of the things I want to say is that I want to say thank you to Shelly Manstone. Shelly is the one who gave me this show. I don't need no job. I don't need no show, but this is a situation for my people. If you be down for your people, then I'm down for this show. Because it's opening up a lot of doors. And hold that music for a minute, Candace, please. What I want to talk about here is that a couple of weeks ago, I had Cicero Blake on my show. And Cicero Blake, some of y'all may not know, is a blues artist. He's up there in age and everything. But he was talking about the song that he made and recorded that was never gotten paid for. And lo and behold, an agent out of L.A. heard my show, heard his situation, and she contacted me and said that she's a Hollywood agent and she worked for Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank. Well, I don't watch Shark Tank, so I didn't know who it was. But she said she worked for Shark Tank, she worked for Lee Daniels, the movie producer, and she worked for Oprah Winfrey. But anyway, Kevin O'Leary is starting a new show that's talking about people who have done things and never gotten paid. Holly, do you hear what I said? Okay.
Baby, do you understand me neither?
People who have done things and not gotten paid, that's going to be the new show that they're going to be doing. And so finally, yes. She called me back. Yes, dear. Let me finish this here. She called me back and said, well, listen, dear, it seemed like you know so many people. She said, I'll tell you what, along with Cicero Blake, anybody that you know that has done something and never gotten paid for it, we will go after them and we will get their money for them. So, I mean, Holly, matter of fact, let me tell you this here. I know Holly has done things and never gotten paid for, but most of these entertainers in the Chicago back in the days, from Gene Chandler to the Shy Lights, none of them got paid. Let me tell you a little story about a situation here with a song that was written called Jealous Kind of Fella. Now, the song was originally written for Tyrone Davis, okay? And Tyrone Davis say, man, I ain't going to sing no song talking about I'm a jealous kind of fella. I'm a player, okay? I mean, there's so many real stories behind these stories. And Garland Green said the same thing. If you don't know, you won't know these things. He said, what I look like talking about I'm a player, and I'm singing about a jealous kind of fella. So, but bottom line, again, it's so many history-written situations about us in the black music in Chicago that we have done and not gotten paid. The Rico was owned by the white boy. The Rico wasn't owned by nobody black. So you had purpose. Yes, baby, come on.
Guess what? I wrote the song for Bobby Blue Bland, Ain't Got Something. I ain't got a dime yet. Tell him, please, find my money.
Okay, yeah. So we're talking about royalties here. And listen, I'll never forget when I first met Oprah Winfrey, I was on her show and we were talking and everything. At that time, I was working with Ice-T. And she had a young girl on there to go to New York to get her stories. I said, Oprah, there's 10 million stories right here in Chicago. You ain't got to go nowhere. And I'm telling you, there's 10 million stories in this city right here, you know? And,
yes, it is.
If anybody can tell you, Holly can. I'll give you another example. Cheating in the next room. That boy never got paid. He never got paid. You know?
Chris, that's why I started this Black Musicians Matter. Because, honest to God, there are so many musicians, and it's still going on. I'm not going to mention the record company's names now, because I'll really get blackballed, because I got blackballed before. You see what I'm saying?
But Nick Cannon knows all about that. You're talking on the right show. Nick Cannon knows all about that. Mm-hmm.
Guess what? The honest to God is still going on, and I'm just trying to do whatever I can do. I'm calling on the musicians here. Would you please trust me? Would you please back me? And would you please stand with me? Because we got to change this. We got to change this, baby. I swear we got to change it, Cliff.
I'm gonna ask you a word. Is Lynn working with you?
Yes, she's supposed to.
Oh, now I'm going to ask you $1 million question. Is Buddy Guy working with you?
Hell no. And I'm not going to lie to you. I'm so glad you asked me that question.
Well, I know about that question.
I swear, I'm not going to lie to you.
Mm-hmm. What's the story
Guess
on that?
What? There's the story.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm lying, I would like him to confront me, because perhaps I got it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I don't see him helping no Black musician in this city.
Well, we're going to drop it right there, because I feel the same way about that situation. But let me give you some more history, in case some of y'all don't know. You may want to know, why did B.B. King called his guitar Lucille? Well, here's what happened. The guys got to fighting in the nightclub. Back then, they had a stovepipe furnace inside the nightclub. Two guys got to fighting, and everybody ran up at the club, and then BB realized he ran out and didn't get his guitar. So he ran back in there to get his guitar, and he found out that the two guys were fighting over a woman named Lucille. So remind him to never do nothing stupid again. He named his guitar Lucille. Oh, my goodness. The story that we know.
You know
about
what, Cliff? Mm-hmm. I want you to know that I'm so glad you got this show. I'm so glad that you are doing what you need to do now. And you hear me. And guess what, baby? Just keep on doing it. Keep on, because it's going to get greater later, because it's your time. It's your time, and what you are doing is telling the truth. You hear me? You're telling the truth, and I love you. You ain't never heard me say I love you, but
I'm
saying I love
now.
You now.
My phone's in the mail. I'm scared to death. Well, listen,
guess what?
Your
phone may blow up.
Well, let me tell you something about telling the truth. Listen, for the last 2 weeks, I've been getting calls from Joe Biden, from Kamala Harris, and from their team. Every day they give me a call talking about they need me to do this, they need me to do that. And they say, well, you just donate $10, $15. I say, I would donate $10 or $15. Just tell me where your office is in Chicago. How are you running for president of the United States and don't have an office in Chicago?
Well, let me say this now. Let me say this. I'm so sorry you opened that can of worms up.
I don't know why.
They done text me over and over again talking about, yeah, you are the Democrats, that we can depend on, and Lord Cliff, you know I ain't political, but you're the Democrat we can depend on. Would you please donate this to the baby? Do you understand? I have no problem with donating anything to anybody, but my inner soul, my inner soul says, how in the hell am I going to donate something? And I'm out of work.
Okay. Counterproductive. Counterproductive. Okay.
Guess on what, man? You understand? I hope Biden wins.
Yeah. But listen,
but
on that same
what,
level,
man,
on that same level,
musicians cannot donate anything because they're not working.
But let me tell you something just about that. Last week, Mike Bloomberg donated $100 million to the Biden campaign just for Florida. Another guy donated $80 million. And then the day after he nominated this white woman to run for the Supreme Court, they raised $100 million the next day. Okay? Now, where is your office in Chicago? Where have you spent some money with Black Radio? Where have you spent some money with Black newspapers? Where have you got the kids off the ground to help get your team off the ground? You have not spent no money in Chicago. It's almost a contradiction for us to supply. You cannot keep taking Black people for granted. You cannot keep doing this. I have this radio station. I have this radio station here, and I have this program because I want to tell it like it is. As long as they allow me to be on this station, I'm going to tell it like it is.
And as long as you on that station, I'm going to help you.
My
you hear me?
For that.
As long
yes.
as you tell it like it is, Cliff, I'll be right there with you. And
that's
straight
all I'm
going to
do
truth,
is tell it. Somebody got to say something. I don't know what happened to these politicians. If you had 10 Black politicians standing at a corner and a light turned green, 7 or 8 of them won't even go across the street because he don't want to walk with the other one. What kind of shit is that? What kind of shit is that?
Shit.
Listen, being
I'm
a professional
glad you said that word so I can say it. Shit.
Yeah, listen. you know, I didn't just go by the schoolhouse. I read a little book about the schoolhouse. Talk about Shakespeare and Polonius.
Well, I'm
Polonius.
Gonna tell you something. As long as you keep it like this, I'm with
listen.
You.
I'm going buck naked just like this. Listen, Polonius
guess
had
what?
Seven
well,
sons.
Guess what? I will too, but you don't want to see
oh,
me buck naked
please,
now.
God. Well, hey. Listen, Polonius had 7 sons, okay? When those sons got of age, he took them out in front of the house and he picked up a stick. And he picked up that one stick and he broke it. Then he picked up 7 sticks and bound them together and tried to break them and he couldn't. He was trying to show his sons that as long as y'all stick together, can't nobody break you.
That's
what
right.
Is it about these, what is it about these Black men and Black women that once they get this position? Listen, we have a Black mayor, Black state's attorney, Black president of the county board, Black courthouse system, the Black school board, and we can't get nothing done. We get no contracts. How is that?
Well, I'm gonna tell you what it is, and I'm going. And I've never been political, but I ain't never been stupid. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's still white control. I don't care what you say.
Yes, you know what? All they got is a bunch of titles and no power.
That's
I tell young boys
about.
All the time, listen, I tell young boys all the time, you know, you can't get into heaven if you don't do help nobody along the way. And I'm talking about the players' heaven, where I come from. I said, listen, son, if you ever want to choose between money and power, you take power. So there's a bunch of guys out here got money but ain't got no power. You choose power. Power will make it where you don't need no money.
That's
okay?
Right.
We need to teach these kids how to be plumbers, electricians, carpenters. Build your own neighborhood. You ain't got to go outside the neighborhood. Elijah Muhammad told us to do that. To thine own self be true. That's what Shakespeare said. There. Mm-hmm. And then the players that I knew said to me, be true to the game and the game will be true to you. Take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm telling them, and you're telling them to pull themselves up on the bootstrap and they ain't got no boots on.
And you know what? I got to say this. And pull them damn pants up.
That's a whole nother story, a whole chapter we're going to deal with.
Yeah,
but
I know. Guess what? I swear that's
a okay, Candace, have we got some more phone calls? Can we take some more calls, please, if I can?
Let's see. Dollar. Let's see. Callers, if you want to say something, press 1 in your downtown.
Yeah, no, I just want to say, Cliff, Cliff, I applaud you, and I thank you for what you're doing, and I thank you for giving me this opportunity. And and I would like to come back again. Would you believe that? Okay. I love you. I'm getting ready to get off the phone, and God bless you. God
thank
bless
you,
Cliff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'm gone, baby.
Holly Maxwell. Yes, that was Miss Holly Maxwell. If you guys don't know, she's the young lady that replaced Tina Turner. Okay, and that was with some heavy shoes to fill, right, Clifton?
Yeah, not only that, but we never did get a chance to talk with her directly about working with Ike. But let me tell you something, in the entertainment world, from Dick Clark and all of them, they say Ike Turner was one of the greatest of all time. He was one of the greatest of all time. I'm going to tell you another story, too. Jimi Hendrix, you know, last week I had Jimmy Mays on my show. Jimmy Mays was a drummer for Jimi Hendrix, okay? But, I mean, Little Richard, Jimi Hendrix. But listen, Jimi Hendrix was also in Little Richard's band, and Little Richard throwed him out of his band because he didn't want nobody in his band cuter than him. Some more stories to be told. But listen, let's take some phone calls if we can, sweetheart.
Okay. Let's go to Carol. Everybody, I'm opening up the lines. I'm opening up the lines. Everybody can talk. Whoever wants to say something, go ahead.
Okay.
We got Carol, 6682. Okay.
Carol. Carol, let me say this there. He better be funny. I'm going to listen to him, but he better be funny. Okay. What about K? We got KP back on the line?
Yeah, PK.
PK?
PK?
Guess what?
Well, I tell you, we got a packed house tonight. So, Clifton, we have about 5 more minutes. Airtime.
Okay,
I'm looking
for Wes and I'm looking for Louie, please. Is Wes on the line? Is Shelly on the line? Shelly Manchon.
I've cleared up all the lines in the back office. So.
Okay. Well, listen, let me talk about our sponsor here. I'm waiting for the confirmation for that, but we're supposed to be sponsored by Trust Me Vodka. Trust Me Vodka is an organic vodka. Easy and smooth for the taste and the whole nine yards. It has a fantastic bottle that it comes in. And this is the perfect time for us to be putting the vodka on the market because it's the holiday season. We got Thanksgiving coming up. We got Christmas coming up. We got New Year's coming up. So anybody that's got any kind of beverage like that, now's the time to get it going. And once again, I've talked with them 2 weeks about that, and we need to lock that down, Candace. We either they're going to be or not be. But we need to lock that down. Okay. Also, I talked to the Open Winfrey people today in regards to your audition for Delilah. I'm waiting to hear back from them. Yeah. Okay.
All right. That's what's up. Okay. Well, that's what's up, Clifton. I appreciate that. So, hey, this is a good show, callers. I have, as you can see, I've the lines, once I take the lines open, you can hear all the backdrop and all the conversation and stuff. But the lines are open. Clifton, we have 2 more minutes for you.
You got what, baby?
Yeah, I had to go to. We're
closing down on the time here. We have 2 more minutes.
Okay, all right. What you want to talk about before we go?
I mean, we can talk about, you know, your next show. Who are you going to bring on the next show?
I ain't never been with Cliff.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about health and nutrition for the next show. We're going to talk. Turn that off. Please turn that off. Okay. We're going to be close the line. We're going to be talking about the importance of eating right, the importance of sleeping, the importance of the medication that you take and the reaction to that. So next week is going to be based primarily on healthcare and how we deal with this pandemic, And not only that, but it's got to be affecting everybody. Everybody's worried about me because I spent 40 years in the streets running these nightclubs. I never got home before daylight. And they just can't believe that I know how to stay in the house. Yes, I do, because I know how to live. I'm trying to live. I ain't trying to get out of here right now. I'm trying to see my grandson, at least to be teenagers before I get out of here. So therefore, you young people, you got to wear your mask. As much as I love my grandchildren, y'all stay your little butts away from me because you ain't nothing but germ carriers anyway. You know, so that's important to me. Yeah, that's important to me that we teach our people how to take care of themselves, hygienically, emotionally, because mental illness is just what it is, mental illness. There is a problem there. There is a problem there.
Right.
And so we need to deal with that. And I'm going to talk about reparations as well, because reparations is not
Thank
a situation
you.
Where we're just going to give you some money. Okay, because it's a statistical fact that if I give all the rich, all the poor people some money, in a few days, all the rich people are going to have it again. But there's all kind of ways of having reparations. That's through schooling, through housing, through mental health. The whole nine yards, you can help people with reparations because we need reparations. It's just that simple. When the veterans came back from the Korean War and World War II, they had reparations. They just called it the GI Bill. But they had reparation. We need reparation. We need economic development in our communities. Okay? We also need to develop some new leaders. And on that same level, here in Chicago, we got a young lady named Kim Fox. People, go out and vote for this girl. Go out and vote for her because she's doing the right thing. Don't vote for her because she's black. Vote for her because she's doing her job. They were at Dorothy Brown the whole time she was in the Cook County Clerk's Office. She's head of the clerk's office, and the FBI took her phone, and this here and that there, and this here and that there. And so for 20 years she's been in office. They've been at her 20 years. And now she announced she's not running for reelection. You ain't heard her name no more because they wasn't at her. They was at the job she had. They were at the job she had. These prisons are a business. These prisons, you're there to lock people up. You're here to lock these young boys up. Let me tell you something. If they charge a young kid for a murder, he gets 20 years, $34,000 a year to house a prisoner. So they're going to spend all that money for the next 20 years the state is getting. That we're a product. We're like grass growing. They're selling us. They're selling our bodies to these prison penitentiaries. That's why I want to tell these music people, y'all, stop making that kind of music because it ain't doing nothing but driving our young people to the penitentiary. Okay? We lose a young kid that got killed, and we also lose the kid who killed him. You know? Pretty soon we will not have no black boys to populate our population. Elijah Muhammad said by the year 2020, by the year 2010, that white man will be at a zero factor. Every white man is born, two of them die. Our race is the only race that can make our own race. Okay, we can mix with anybody and still come out black. This is a fight for the survival of my people. They're killing our young boys. Listen, a young boy get killed in the street, you understand what I'm saying? They're going to take the autopsy on him, and they look at him after they do the autopsy, you understand? They take out his heart, they take out his kidney. All that's supposed to be thrown in the garbage according to the law. Are you kidding me? You have any idea how much a heart costs, how much a kidney costs? Black people standing on the corner selling loose squares. Doctors in the operating room selling loose body parts. Good night, America. Good night, Candace.
Hey,
what's
up,
man? Wake up. It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce. A Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists, Inc. production.
Pushing it down the road, going the distance, we